The ninth parak starts out with three mishnayos talking about the measuring cups that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. First, we're going to talk in Mishnah Aleph about the dry measuring cups, and thereafterward, Mishnah Beis and Gimel, the wet measuring cups. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Shtei midos shel yavesh hayu b'mikdash. There were two types of measuring cups to measure flour, which is dry in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were in the measurements of an isaron, Bechetzi Isaron, Rabbi Meir Omer. In fact, there were three, but two are going to be the same, effectively, almost. Isaron, Isaron, Vechetzi Isaron. Isaron, Isaron sound the same, but there were actually two different types of Isaron. One was a little bit smaller, and to have a full Isaron of flour, you need to heap it up a little bit. And the other one was a little bit larger, and accordingly, they were both measuring out an Isaron, but because it was a little larger, you didn't heap it up. That was used specifically for the daily mincha offering of the Kohen Gadol, that because you have to divide it in two, you didn't want to use one that was heaped up, because when you divide it in two, you would lose some of the flour. Isaron mehaya meshamesh, shebo haya mode lekol ha-menachos. What did they use the Isaron for? So the Isaron was used to measure all of the flour for the Korban Minchas. Lo haya moded, lo b'shal shlosh lapar. When you needed more than an Isaron, for example, the bowl required three Isaron, they didn't have a measuring cup for three Isaron, rather they just used the one Isaron measuring cup, and they used it three times to get the three Isaron for the bowl. The lo b'shal shnayim la'il, and for example, when you had a ram that required two Isaron, you didn't have a two Isaron measuring cup, you used the one measuring cup twice. Ela moded an Isaron, they used to just moded, they used to measure it, Isaron by Isaron for the amount that they needed. Chetzi Isaron, so this is the second one. What did they use this Chetzi Isaron for? Mehaya Meshamesh, Shebo Haya Modit Chavite Kohen Gadol. That's the daily Korban that was brought, the Korban Mincha that was brought by the Kohen Gadol. They needed a Chetzi Isaron. What does that mean? So in the morning he brought a full Isaron and he had to divide it in two. So to divide it in two, he poured half of it into the Chetzi Isaron, and he used Mechsa Baboker, Mechsa Ben Arbaim. Half of it was used in the morning, and half of it was used in the afternoon, because it was brought in two parts. Mishnah Bey starts talking about the wet measuring cup. Sheva Mido Shalach Hayu B'Mikdash. There was a Mesorah that some of the Tanaim had, that there were actually seven different wet measuring cups in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to list them out, largest to smallest, the Hin, Vechetzi Ayin, Ushlishi Sain, Urevi Sain. Those were all four in the Hin family. And then, continuing, going smaller, a log, Vechetzi log, Urevi's log. Rebbe Eliezer has a different view. He did not have the Masorah that there were seven different wet measuring cups in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather, Rebbe Eliezer Bar Tzadok Omer Shnatot Hayu Bahin, when it came to the Hin, instead of having four different gradations of the Hin, a full Hin, half Hin, third of a Hin, or a quarter of a Hin, there was just one full Hin, and there were markings on it like notches, and they used the full Hin, and with the notches in it, they could achieve what's half a Hin, a quarter, and a third of a Hin. And accordingly, ad kan lapar, when they needed a half a hin for the par, they would just use, for example, oil and wine, they would go up to the notch that was half a hin. Ad kan lahayil, and for nile, they required a third of a hin. Ad kan lakevis, and they required a fourth of a hin for the kevis. And in addition, there's some mefarshim that Rebbe Eliezer Bar Tzadok said the same with the log, that there weren't gradations of a log. There weren't separate cups, measuring cups for a full lug, a half a lug, and a quarter of a lug, but rather there was just one lug and it had notches. So according to Rebbe Eliezer Bar Tzadok, there was a hin that had notches and you can figure out all the gradation you needed, and there was one measuring cup for a lug with notches and you'd figure out everything you needed based on that. Rebbe Shimon Omer, Rebbe Shimon did have the Masorah that there were seven, but he says lo haya sham hin. He eliminates the hin because it wasn't needed. There was only a hin necessary in the Midbar by Moshe Rabbeinu, but thereafterward it wasn't necessary, so he replaces the hin with something else. V'chi mahaya hin meshamesh. So they didn't need the hin anymore thereafter, after Moshe Rabbeinu used it. Ela mida yasera shalogu mechsa haisa. But rather, he replaced the hin with a measurement cup that held a log and a mechsa, one and a half log. Haisa shabahaya moded le minchas kohen gadol. For the mincha that the kohen gadol used to bring every day, he needed not only the flour, but he needed oil as well. And he needed to bring three logs. So to measure out three logs, he used it half and half. So you needed a measurement that measured a log and a half, because you needed half and half. Log mechsa b'boker v'log mechsa ben arbaim, you needed 1.5 in the morning, 1.5 in the afternoon. So he replaced the hin, take out the hin from the shever measurements, and replace it with 1.5 log measuring cup. Mishnah Gimel will tell us of the 7, what were the uses of the 7 measuring cups, and we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to go from smallest to largest, at least when we talk about the log. So revis, the quarter of vlug mehaisa meshamis, what did they use it for? So revis mayim lemetzora, as part of the purification process of the metzora, they needed a quarter of a lug of water, so that was why they needed a revis halug measuring cup. Revis shemel nazir, and also as part of the process to complete his term for the nazir, he has to bring with his loaves a quarter of a lug of oil, so that was necessary. Also, the revis halug was necessary for the nazir as well. Next, number 2, chetzi lug. What did they use the chetzi lug for? Chetzi lug mayim lesota, as part of the bitter waters that were drunk by the sota, they needed a half a lug of water. The chetzi lug shemen latoda, they also needed a half a lug of oil for the 30 matzah loaves that were brought as part of the korban toda. Number 3, measuring cup, wet measuring cup of beglug. They used to measure all of the oil necessary for the korban minchas. They needed one lug of oil for every isaron of flour. Afilu mincha shel shishim isaron nosen la shishim lug. And even if you had 60 flour isronos, 60 isronos of flour, they would have to bring one lug of oil for each. They used to measure the oil one by one because the maximum size of the wet measuring cup was a lug, so they had to use it 60 times to get 60 lugs of oil. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, afilu mincha shel shishim isaron, he disagrees. He says if you had even a huge korban mincha, you needed 60 isronos of flour that was massive, you would not bring 60 lug of oil. Ella ein la ella loga, you would only bring one lug of oil for the entire 60 isronos of flour, because the pasuk says shalemar limincha v'lug shamin, with that korban mincha, regardless of the size, small or big, it would have only one lug of shemen. Shisha lapar, so now we're going back to the measuring cups. Number 4, what was the shisha lapar? That's equal to half a hin. That was the amount of oil necessary for the par offering, arba la ayil, and the 4 lug, which is equal to a third of a hin, when it was necessary to bring that for the ayil, so to bring the necessary liquid nesachim together with the ayil, shlosha la keves, and the shlosha lug, which is a quarter of a hin for the keves. And then we have an added comment there afterward, shloshu mechsa la menorah mechetzi lug l'chol ner. When it came to the menorah required 3.5 lug of oil on a daily basis, and what they would do is that they had to measure it. There was a half a lug for each candle, so they used a half a lug for the menorah. Mishnah Daled is a little bit complicated of a Mishnah. Just a little bit background. When the flour was brought for various korbanas, you had to bring oil as well. And just the background, the par and the ayil had the same oil to flour ratio. So because the par and ayil, even though they had different amounts, different gross amounts, but the ratio of oil to flour the same, the Mishkan is going to tell us that you can mix all the ingredients together from the par and ayil because the ratios were the same. But when it came to the keves, a lamb, because it had a different ratio of oil to flour, you could not mix the keves, the raw ingredients, the oil and the flour together with that of the bull and the ram. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ma'arvin nischei par, you are allowed to mix the raw ingredients, that's the oil and flour that you would use for the nesachim of the parim, and you can mix it together with the nesachim of the elim because they have the same ratio. And when it comes to the nesachim that you have with the keves, with the lamb, you can mix that with the nesachim of another lamb. The raw ingredients, you can mix oil and flour of one ram with another ram. And also, it doesn't matter if as long as you have the same ratio, you can mix these nesachim, the oil and flour from a korban yachid to a korban tzibur, and back and forth. Even if you brought the animal part of the korban one day, different days. You had one korban one day, one korban next day. You could still bring their respective nesachim together. You could still mix the ingredients, the oil and flour together on the same day. Aval ein ma'arvi niske kfasim b'niske parim ve'elim. What you can't do, because they have different oil to flour ratios, is you cannot mix the nesachim from a keves, from a lamb, together with either that of a bull or a ram, because of that different ratio. Vim balalan elu b'vnei atzvan ve'elu b'vnei atzvan v'nisar v'ksherin. This is talking about, even if you have different korbanos that have different ratios, different oil to flour ratios, but before mixing the raw ingredients together, you didn't do that. What you did is, for example, you took the lamb and you mixed the lamb's oil and flour together by itself, and you also had a bull or a ram, and you mixed the oil and flour together by itself. After you've mixed each of those, their respective korbanos, the oil and flour, then you can mix those doughs together, even though it's a dough from a bull or a ram together with that of a lamb, even though the ratios are different, but because you mix them separately together, that's not going to be a problem. Imat shalabalal. However, if you mix the nesachim of korbanos before you mixed it together and they have different ratios, oil to flour ratios, that's going to be pasul. Hakeves haba ima omer. We have an additional statement that we're just adding on. We have the typical, when we have a lamb offering, we said that there's oil and flour brought together. So typically you bring one isaron together with a keves, one isaron of flour, and three lug of oil. There's an exception to that rule, which is the keves habayim omer. That's the on the second day of Pesach, that's the keves that was brought together with the korban haomer. So they would actually double the flour amount to two esranos, that even though you double the solas, the flour amount, you would still stick with the oil component with three lug. You would not double that as well. So a keves habayim haomer, nafal bishimincha sokfula, even though you're going to double the mincha amount, the flour amount, to two esaron, doyo nesachim kfulin, you would not double the nesachim amount, you would stay with three lug of both the shemen of the oil and also the three lug of the wine. Mishnehei, we are now continuing from Mishnayos Aleph and Gimel, discussing the dry and the liquid measurement. So Mishnehei says as follows, and this is the shita of Rebbe Meir. We said that he has two esronas, two measurements for the isaron. One was a little bit smaller, one was a little bit bigger, and the reason for that is when he would measure out the korban mincha that was brought by the kohen each day, you didn't want it heaped, so you needed a little bit larger of isaron, so the heap amount would be included in the vessel itself. So kol amidos hayu b'mikdash, hayu nigdash, at any time that you would fill in the midos, whether it be wet or dry, you would heap it up, chutz mishel kohen gadol, with the exception of the kohen gadol, when you would bring the korbanos of the isaron of the flour that was necessary for the daily mincha offering of the kohen gadol, she'agad shel esocho, you wouldn't heap it up, you would use a larger isaron amount, and the heaped amount would be included inside the vessel, because we didn't want to lose any when we divide it in half. So now we're going to have three opinions, and it's going to be interesting. All three are going to agree about the halacha. The halacha and the discussions that we're discussing here is when you have that heaped up amount, because we said we always heap up the measurement, be it wet or dry, is the amount above the brim of that measuring cup, is that considered holy or is not considered holy? And we're going to see that all three opinions that we're going to see shortly agree that if it is above the brim and it is liquid, it is going to be kadosh, it's going to be holy. But if it's dry, it's not going to be holy. But they're going to have three different rationales. So this is not a machlokas as to the halacha, it's a machlokas as to the rationale behind the halacha. Rationale number one, this is the Tana Kama Midos Halach Beirutzei in Kodesh. When you have the wet measurements, the heaped up amount over the brim is going to be Kaddish. And the rationale here, according to the Tana Kama, is not only the inside of the kli considered Kaddish because it was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but also the outside has been anointed as well. And when we have that heaped up amount, leans on the brim itself, and the brim is considered part of the outside of the kli. So because it was Kadosh as well, because it was anointed, there's a kedusha to the outside, there's a kedusha to the brim, which is part of the outside, so the heaped amount leaning on that is Kadosh as well. Umidas hayavesh, they are saying, when it comes to the dry amounts, when you have flour that's over the brim, that amount is not going to be kodesh, it's going to be chol, because when it comes to the dry measuring cups, only the inside is kodesh, not the outside, and accordingly that heaped up amount that's leaning on the brim, which is part of the outside, is not going to be kodesh. So that is the rationale for the Tana Kama, by only the wet heaped amount is going to be kodesh, but not the dry heaped amounts, it's not going to be kodesh. Rationale number two, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Midos Halach Kodesh. He's of the view, he agrees with the Tana Kama, that when it comes to the wet measuring cups, they are holy inside and outside, the Fichach Be'erot Seim Kodesh. Accordingly, when you have the wet heaped amount over the brim, that is going to be Kodesh, because it's leaning on the brim, which is Kodesh. Midos Hayavesh Chol, where he disagrees with the Tana Kama, he's of the view, Rabbi Akiva is of the view, that the Midah, the dry measuring cup, not only is it not kodesh on the outside, it's not kodesh on the inside as well. Afichach beretzein chol. Accordingly, the heaped up amount of dry is not going to be kodesh, it's going to be chol. And Rabbi Yossi Amir, third opinion, third rationale, lo mishum zeh, he disagrees. It's not that the concept of what he's of the view that when it comes to both types of measuring cup, dry and wet, only the insides are kodesh, the outsides are not. So why would we say then that there's a difference between the heaped up amount of dry and wet? As follows, as shalach ne'akar, because when it comes to lach, the wet amounts, when it goes into the kli, everything gets mixed up and down, and accordingly, the heaped up amount has been in the bottom and it moved to the top. It was within the kli and now it's simply heaped up, but it became kodesh before it went above the rim. However, when it comes to the dry amount, there was never flour that was inside the kli and came to the top. Everything got poured in, and whatever is heaped up is above the brim. It never went below, and accordingly, that's why when it comes to the heaped up amount of dry, that's not going to be kodesh, it's going to be chol. Mishnah Vav, kol korbanas hatzibur vayachi tuni nisachim, all will have carve out shortly, but all korbanas, whether it be brought for the tzibur or the yachid, required to bring nesachim, that means wine, and also the mincha, the flour and oil. However, with the exceptions of chutz min habechor, v'hamaser, v'pesach, those three are a set oftentimes. So those three, the bechor, the firstborn animal, and meiser is talking about meiser behema and the korban pesach, those you just bring the animal, but you do not bring the nesachim with them. And in addition, v'chatas v'asham, any korban chatas, any korban asham. However, when it comes to the chatas and asham, we have an exception to the exception, which is ela shechat. When a mitzora brings a chatas and an asham as part of the purification process, that would require the bringing of nesachim. Mishnah Zayin, called korbanas atzibur ein b'em smicha. When it comes to the korbanas atzibur, there is not a requirement to do smicha, which means leaning with all your might on the head of that korban. But the exceptions to the rule are two. Chutz min apar haba kol hamitzvos. This is the par helem davar. The Sanhedrin makes a mistake permitting something that is a serious sin, and then they find out about their mistake there afterward. But the majority of the tzibur had already acted upon it. The Sanhedrin has to bring the par helem davar. That is sent out on Yom Kippur. So those two do require, even though they're a korban asibur, they require smicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he adds a third, which is very much similar to the par haba kol mitzvos. That's par helam davar asirei avodah zarah. When the Sanhedrin permitted people to do an act that really is avodah zarah, they made a mistake, and thereafter they found out that they made a mistake, they would also have to bring this seir avodah zarah, which is a korban asibur, and it would require smicha. Kol korban asayachi tune in smicha. When it comes to the korban asayachid, the default is you have to have smicha, with the exception of the three we mentioned before as a set, chutz min habachor, v'amaser v'pesach. And in addition, it can only be the owner of a korban that does the smicha, no one else, except a hayoresh. If the person who's bringing the korban passed away, he had dedicated, he's going to bring an ole, he's going to bring a shlami, but he passed away, so his heir, the hayoresh shomech, will do the smicha for him, and also mevi nesachim, and will also bring the nesachim on his behalf. Umeimir, and then there's also the halacha that if he tries to substitute korban one, something that was designated for a korban, and he tries to substitute it with number two, he has the status, and the halacha says that the baal, the owner of the korban, and also we're saying the yoresh as well, if you try to substitute a korban, they both become korbanas. You don't take korban A out of being a korban both A and B are brought as korbanos, so the yorish would also have that power or that liability that when he tries to substitute another korban, they both become korbanos. Mishnah Ches continues the halachas of smicha. Kol somchim, everyone could do smicha on their own korbanos. You can only do smicha on your own korban. However, with the exception of a cheirish, a deaf mute, a shota, somebody who's insane, and a katan below the age of bar mitzvah, because they don't have das, they cannot do smicha. A suma cannot do smicha. Somebody who's blind, Ovid Kachavi Menanju, when he brings an adava, brings a korban, would not do smicha on it. And in addition, as we said, you can only do smicha by yourself, not by somebody else. V'ha'evid, if somebody has an evid knani, that evid knani cannot act as the shaliach and do smicha for his master. V'ha'shaliach, you can't designate even a full-fledged Jew to be your shaliach. V'ha'ish, and a woman cannot do it for her husband. Usmicha shiare mitzvah. The Mishnah tells us that smicha is a remainder mitzvah, which means that if you don't do the smicha, the korban is going to still be valid. How do we do the smicha? Al arush, we do the smicha leaning both hands on the head of the korban, b'shtei yadayim, both hands. Uvamakom shesomchim shochtin, in the same place, which is the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the same place we do the smicha, we do the shchita. Why is that? V'sake of the smicha shchita, because they have to be back to back. Right after you do the smicha, you have to do the shchita. Accordingly, they both have to be done in the same place, just like the shchita has to be done in the chatzar, the courtyard, so to the smicha has to be done there as well. Mishnah Tes. Now that we have discussed the halachas of smicha, and we also discussed the halachas of tnufa, waving various korbanas, we discussed that way back in Perek Hey, Ezu Makoma. Now we're going to compare the two. Chomer besmicha mimet tnufa. There's sometimes we are more strict, chomer, when it comes to the halachas of smicha, than the halachas of tnufa, waving ubet tnufa besmicha, and the reverse as well. Sometimes we're stricter when it comes to tnufa, the smicha. And now we're going to explain what that means. And we're going to first explain when we are stricter when it comes to smicha. That if we have a group of people bringing a korban together, she'echad meinif l'kol ha'chaverim, that one person can act as the representative for everyone who is partnered on that korban and can do the tenufa, can wave it for everyone. Ve'en echad somech l'kol ha'chaverim, and one cannot do smicha for everyone. Rather, each person has to do smicha consecutively on the same korban that they are partnered on. V'chomer b'tenufa, and as we said, there are sometimes we are stricter when it comes to the tnufa rather than smicha. As follows, the tnufa applies in many additional situations that the smicha wouldn't. Sha tnufa noegit b'korbanas hayachid v'korbanas hatzibur. The tnufa applies both in korbanas hatzibur and korbanas hayachid, not to all of them, but it applies to some korbanas hatzibur and some korbanas hayachid bechayim b'shchutin, and it can apply to an animal. Sometimes it's going to apply to an animal that's alive, and it's also going to apply on occasions like a shlamim to a korban that has been shechted already, that you have to do tnufa to certain parts of the korban. B'davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim b'davar shein bo ruach chayim, and tnufa is going to apply to certain things that are alive and also things that aren't alive. In other words, that the tnufa is going to be done sometimes to animals, alive or dead, or also korban mincha, which has never been alive. Also, there's going to be a tnufa in certain circumstances. Masha enkin b'smicha. In contrast to smicha, that only applies to live animals, and it only applies to the live animals while they're alive. And almost exclusively, it applies to korbanos yachid, not to korbanos tzibur, with minor exceptions, korbanos tzibur, but almost for the most part, it's only going to apply to korbanos yachid.